Not one of us had the strength to string that powerful weapon. All of us fell far short of what it took. But then, when the bow was coming round to Odysseus's hands, we raised a hue and cry. He must not have it, no matter how he begged. Only Telemachus urged him to take it up, and once he got it in his clutches, long-suffering great Odysseus strung his bow with ease and shot through all the axes, then vaulting onto the threshold, stood there poised, and pouring his flashing arrows out before him, glaring for the kill, he cut Antinous down, then shot his painful arrows into the rest of us, aiming straight and true, and down we went, corpse on corpse in droves. Clearly a god was driving him, and all his henchmen, routing us headlong in their fury down the hall, wheeling into the slaughter, slashing left and right, and grisly screams broke from skulls cracked open, the whole floor awash with blood. So we died, Agamemnon. Our bodies lie untended even now, strewn in Odysseus's palace. They know nothing yet, the kin in our houses, who might wash our wounds of clotted gore and lay us out and mourn us. These are the solemn honours owed the dead. Happy Odysseus, Agamemnon's ghost cried out, son of old Laertes, mastermind, what a fine faithful wife you won. What good sense resided in your Penelope, how well Icarius' daughter remembered you, Odysseus, the man she married once. The fame of her great virtue will never die. The immortal gods will lift a song for all mankind, a glorious song in praise of self-possessed Penelope. A far cry from the daughter of Tyndareus, Clytemnestra, what outrage she committed, killing the man she married once. Yes, and the song men sing of her will ring with loathing. She brands with a foul name the breed of womankind, even the honest ones to come. So they traded stories. The two ghosts, standing there in the house of death, far in the hidden depths below the earth. Odysseus and his men had stridden down from town and quickly reached Laertes's large, well-tended farm that the old king himself had wrested from the wilds, years ago laboring long and hard. His lodge was here, and around it stretched a row of sheds where field-hands, bondsmen who did his bidding, sat and ate and slept, with an old Sicilian woman, too, much in charge, who faithfully looked after her aged master, out on his good estate, remote from town. Odysseus told his servants and his son, into the timbered lodge now, go, quickly, kill us the fattest porker, fix our meal, and I will put my father to the test. See if the old man knows me now on sight, or fails to, after 20 years apart. With that he passed his armour to his men, and in they went at once, his son as well. Odysseus wandered off, approaching the thriving vineyard, searching, picking his way down to the great orchard, searching, but found neither Dolius, nor his sons, nor any hand. They'd just gone off, old Dolius in the lead, to gather stones for a dry retaining wall to shore the vineyard up. But he did find his father, alone, on that well-worked plot, spading round a sapling, clad in filthy rags, in a patched, unseemly shirt, and round his shins he had some oxide leggings strapped, patched too, to keep from getting scraped, and gloves on his hands to fight against the thorns, and on his head he wore a goatskin skull cap, to cultivate his misery that much more. Long-enduring Odysseus, catching sight of him now, a man worn down with years, his heart racked with sorrow, halted under a branching pear tree, paused and wept, debating, head and heart, what should he do now? Kiss and embrace his father, pour out the long tale, how he had made the journey home to native land, or probe him